Well, hello, everyone. I am your new host, Aniko Gao. And I am your host for Modern Maturity. And I just want to get up and dance to this great music. Oh, my gosh, I love it. I think you should. Just dance through the whole program, okay? All right. Well, I am just thrilled to be joining you all. And I have a lot of great stories to read to you this afternoon. And they are from the Modern Maturity magazine that is put out by AARP. And a couple of other ones. One's from UC Berkeley's Health After 50. So, but mostly from the AARP. They've got some really good articles this week or this month. Anyway, the content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Aniko Gao from the North Carolina Reading Service, formerly known as the Triangle Radio Reading Service. All right, well, we're going to begin our program right now, but keep on dancing, okay? Well, we are going to start right off with something super fun. How many of you remember Carlos Santana? Well, this article is about him. Guitar legend Carlos Santana pioneered fusion of rock and Latin rhythms. Follow his magical 50-year journey creating supernatural sounds. En español, no. The boots are more than just boots. Much like everything in Carlos Santana's life, they provide a lesson, a microcosm. Carlos found the boots he's wearing this day, lilac snakeskin, on a recent visit to a shop in West Hollywood. They weren't for sale. They belonged to the shop owner's son. But with his rock star charm, Carlos cajoled him into selling. It's just a little story he tells at the end of a lengthy interview, but one that reveals the full Santana mythos. It's like everything in life right now. It has to do with being in the right place at the right time, he says. The universe will bring you an abundance of opportunities and possibilities. It's really all about trusting that before you got there. When you were sleeping, the universe was conspiring to give you something to blow your mind. Would you be open to receive it? That sums up the 72-year journey of Carlos Santana. He became a pioneer of Latin rock primarily through talent and determination, of course. But there was a large element of being in the right places at the right times. As a boy in the state of Jalisco, Mexico, Carlos was turned on by the Latin tones and rhythms of his ancestors. His father, a violinist, taught him to play the violin, but the instrument's nuance eluded Carlos, who describes his playing as that of a scroungy cat in an alley in the middle of the night. He picked up the guitar instead. He learned to make that instrument sing like Agustin Lara, the Mexican composer and bolero singer who was his father's favorite. But Carlos also couldn't resist the popular blues guitar sounds coming from the U.S. I wanted to sound like B.B. King and Otis Rush and all the people I loved, he says. Go inside a closet, turn the lights off, and play, and try to sound like them. And then I didn't sound like them. I sounded like me. I didn't realize that it was a blessing instead of a curse. But when I stopped trying to sound like somebody else and really paid attention to me, I heard that sound that goes through all people's hearts. The universe did bring Carlos abundance. He moved to San Francisco, again, the right place at the right time, and became a key part of a flourishing psychedelic rock scene. His style, melodic guitar lines soaring over Afro-Latin beats in thrilling free-form jams, was not intended as commercial music, but fans responded and made the songs hits. Among them were Evil Ways, Oye Como Va, and Black Magic Woman. He played the Woodstock stage at age 22, which ignited his career even before his band had released an album. He went on to record some 40 LPs, including 1999's multiple Grammy-winning Supernatural. That was 3 decades into a music career, a point by which many legacy artists are relegated to the oldies circuit. Never the lead singer himself, others have performed that role in the band Santana. Carlos has been an unusual front man by rock standards, more like the band leader of Latin music tradition. It was a decided departure from convention, and yet, more than 50 years in, Carlos Santana is still recording and performing and drawing crowds. He sings with his guitar, says Colombian rock star Juanes, who collaborated with Carlos on the 2014 hit La Flaca. His melodies and solos are as catchy as a singer's. Somehow his fingers are an extension of his soul. They have his stamp, and that's everything when you're an artist. Another Carlos Santana hallmark is his way of talking, of thinking, really, in metaphors, more than specifics. He loves to dispense pearls of wisdom, not because he fancies himself a preacher or a shrink. Quite the contrary, he says he's been to therapy maybe twice in his life. Rather, it's that he's figured out his path to happiness and wants to share the goods. You stay relevant by trusting you have something people need. You know, people need air, people need water, people need some serious romance, he says, rolling the R for emphasis, romance. Humans without romance become curmudgeons and predictable with misery. Carlos believes his music helps. I know that we bring something to the four corners of the world. When you play music and can actually see people cry and then laugh and dance at the same time, honey, that gives you confidence. As for his thoughts on self-fulfillment, 3 things. Your spirit, your soul, and your heart. If you find those and you really find them, you're going to realize that innocence. Those things don't leave you, and you don't misplace them or lose them. Those are the ingredients for you to have a glorious existence. And that was a quote. One of his favorite terms is, quote, naked awareness, end quote, the ability to see yourself fully and make changes away from the negative. But this way of talking, these scattered pearls of wisdom, the art and soul of being Carlos Santana, it's all meaningful to people. He recalls a casual conversation that he had this year about music with a security guard at a London hotel. The right place at the right time. The next day, he came up to me with tears in his eyes. Their chance conversation had averted the man's thoughts of suicide. Humans without hope and courage, it's over, Carlos notes. When you have hope and courage, somehow you can will yourself to create miracles and blessings. This year marks a couple of milestone anniversaries for Carlos. Besides Woodstock's 50th, there is the comeback 20th. In the late 90s, when Carlos's star seemed to be waning, along came music mogul Clive Davis, who had originally signed Santana to Columbia Records in the 60s. Davis went on to found Arista Records, and more than 20 years afterward saw Santana perform at Radio City Music Hall. Davis proposed a new album to the guitarist, one with that signature sound, but full of collaborations. The result was 1999's Supernatural. It included the smash hit Smooth. with Carlos's Latin guitar alongside vocals by Rob Thomas of pop band Matchbox 20. It endeared Santana to a new generation while still speaking to older fans. The album went on to sell more than 30 million copies worldwide, and Santana won 8 Grammys, including for Album of the Year. It was the second only 3 times in history that a Latin artist has achieved that honor. Brazil's João Gilberto won in 1965 with Stan Getz. Bruno Mars, of Puerto Rican descent, did so in 2018. Davis recalls the skepticism in the halls of Arista, that his signing of Santana might have been affected by nostalgia and affection. At the time, there was speculation that it could be Davis' folly. He says, "How could someone on guitar over 50 who didn't sing break through? But as soon as I played smooth for the head of promotion, his eyes lit up and he said, none of us thought we would have a commercial record." For Thomas, the experience led to a lasting mentor relationship. Carlos loves to pass on his wisdom. I met him when my band had just had an unusually successful first album, Thomas remembers. Carlos came along to show me the difference between being a successful musician and being a celebrity. To this day, he still sends me texts to remind me that the only 3 things I can control are my motive, intention, and purpose. And to always remember to do what I do with gratitude. I'm not the vessel, I'm the messenger, but sometimes I can be the engine. The group hadn't released an album before August 1969 festival, but iconic concert promoter Bill Graham insisted that the band get booked. Santana shared the bill with idols, including Sly Stone. He had the best energy, the best presentation, Carlos Santana says. And then Jimi Hendrix, of course. And then everybody else had to fight for third place with Santana. He continues, "What I learned most from Woodstock is that people are thirsty to live, to exist outside religion and politics." They connected and, with legendary producer Rick Rubin at the helm, recorded fresh versions of 49 African songs in 10 days. "I want to bring new African music to the mainstream because I think people need this nutrient, this ingredient, to learn how to dance differently," Carlos explains. "Music needs melody, rhythm, and heartfelt sounds. There is too much synthesized music. Basically, it's like the shopping malls in America. So much of it sounds the same." His ambitions have also moved beyond music in the past 2 decades. Through his Milagro, or Miracle, Foundation, established in 1998, Carlos has given nearly $8 million in grants to almost 400 organizations around the world that support children in the areas of education, health, and the arts. The grants range from $7,500 for local literacy organizations to over $100,000 for earthquake relief in Mexico. But even with these tangible efforts, there's still a bit of cosmic Carlos in there. People who are really, really committed, 1,000%, roll up their sleeves and will go anywhere in the world, even if there is no landing strip. They land and bring medicine, but the main medicine they bring is the way they look at people and touch people. That's medicine. Another of Carlos's mantras is, reinvent yourself every day. And at 72, he has created a life with second wife Cindy Blackman Santana a drummer whom he wed in 2010, that sounds like domestic bliss. Aside from Cindy's daily drum practice, she's dedicated, like Usain Bolt is an athlete. They let the day unfold. All my kids, they're all grown up, living in New York, Los Angeles, or Seattle. That part is completed now, and they're crystallizing their existence. But now with Cindy and me, we don't have anything to tend to or be concerned about other than each other's eyes, each other's hearts. His previous marriage lasted 34 years, but Carlos says he wasn't always filled with naked awareness. I didn't know back then that it's not my mission to make my mother or my ex-wife happy. I was breaking my back. I was really trying to be the good guy and please them. All of a sudden, I said, wait a minute. My job is to make myself happy. Do what I need to do to make myself happy. With Cindy, he entered a new stage of his journey, personally and musically. Cindy plays on his albums, and he can also be heard on her latest set, Give the Drummer Some. When Cindy came in, we were so ready for each other. I've never had a partner where there are no issues ever, no drama mill, no issues about insecurity or someone with a laundry list of things I need to change. Nothing like that. We're like two kids in a sandbox, and she's got the shovel, and I've got the bucket. Santana finishes his coffee and stands up, revealing the boots. He's headed home, to Cindy, to his music, to a satisfied life. If he were to give his younger self some advice, he would say, strip yourself naked from anything that anyone taught you about anything, and only listen to the voice of your heart, the voice of your light. The universe continues to bring him an abundance of opportunities and possibilities, and Carlos Santana is still open to receiving them. Leila Cobo is a vice president and Latin industry lead for Billboard magazine and the director of content for Nexus, American Airlines in-flight magazine in Spanish and Portuguese. The Colombia native is also a classical pianist, novelist, biographer, and TV host. And she was author of this article. All right, well, our next article is from AARP again. When to keep, shred, or scan important papers. Depending on the date, you may not need to hold on to these documents. There is a fine line between holding on to important financial and medical records and hoarding. Here's where to draw it. Tax returns. Don't plan on running for president. Hold on to your old tax returns and supporting documents for 3 years, counting from the return's due date or the date you filed, whichever comes later. That's the window the IRS has to audit you to catch any mistakes, explains Mark Steber, Chief Tax Officer at Jackson Hewitt. If you're self-employed or have a complicated return, though, double that to 6 years, which is how much time the IRS has to audit you if it suspects you've grossly underreported your income. However you earn your money, check your My Social Security account before you shred so you can verify that Social Security has accurately recorded your earnings for each year. Having your tax returns in hand will make it easier for you to get your figures corrected. Do you own your own home? Keep financial records related to real estate for 7 years after you sell, the IRS advises. By using home improvement receipts, you can potentially reduce any taxes you might owe on the sale. All right, and let's see here. So here, fight identity theft by shredding unneeded documents. Here are some options. Local events. Check with your state AARP office for shredding days or search online for one nearby. No charge. Retail services. FedEx and Staples, among other stores, will shred for you $1 and up per pound of paper. Do it yourself. Buy your own shredder, one that's described as confetti, cross-cut or micro-cut, $35 or more. All right, continuing on, banking and investments. If there's a possibility you or your spouse will be applying for Medicare for nursing home coverage, in most cases, you'll need to produce 5 years of financial records, banking, credit card, and brokerage statements. That's so that the government can look for any asset transfers that might delay your eligibility. Otherwise, keep banking and financial statements for a year, except those issued for income-related purposes to provide the IRS with a record of tax-related transactions, says Jenny Gift, Vice President of Business Development at document management company Records Nation. Your bank or credit card issuer may have statements going back several years online, she adds. If not, download each new statement and save it in a password-protected folder on your computer. Own stocks or bonds? Keep records of any purchase for 6 years after you file the return, reporting the sale of that security. Again, in case the IRS thinks you've underreported your gains. And dump that shoebox of old canceled checks. Since electronic versions of them are retained by your bank or credit union, says Bankrate senior economic analyst Mark Hamrick. And finally, medical. Err on the side of caution here. Harlan Krumholtz, a cardiologist and healthcare researcher at Yale University, recommends that people retain all medical test results, such as blood test results and x-rays, indefinitely. Yes, that's indefinitely. Normal or not, the information may be useful in the future in their own clinical care or for research, he notes. Particularly important are surgical reports, hospital discharge summaries, and treatment plans for major illnesses. Put these in a password-protected folder on your computer or in a secure cloud-based account so that you can easily share them with future healthcare providers. Keep immunization and vaccination records permanently, too. They may be required for certain jobs or for traveling abroad, and you shouldn't rely on your doctor's office to store them. Hold on to proof of payments to medical providers for 6 years with the relevant return, Gift advises, to show the IRS that you've made legitimate health care deductions. All right, and finally, an article from Focus on Healthy Aging, and this is from the Econ School of Medicine at Mount Sinai. Live longer and healthier by walking more. New research underlines evidence that brisk walking is one of the best forms of exercise for seniors. A recent study adds to the existing evidence that brisk walking benefits your health. The study measured physical activity levels in 16,741 women, average age 72. The kind of moderate to vigorous intensity physical activity derived through brisk walking was associated with a 60 to 70% lower risk of death at the end of the 4-year study among the most active women. Those who walked for an average of about 70 minutes per day, compared with the least active, those who walked for an average of about 8 minutes per day. The benefit seen is significantly greater than the 20 to 30% reduction suggested by previous studies, likely because most other studies have relied on self-reported physical activity, which tends to be imprecise. Conversely, this study used a highly sensitive accelerometer device that accurately tracks motion and velocity, along with low-intensity activities and sedentary behavior. The data only show an association, but the researchers contend that the link is probably causal. Light physical activity, such as slow walking, was not associated with a lower death rate. Keep in mind that this doesn't mean slow walking isn't good for you. It may be beneficial for other health outcomes that were not evaluated in this study. How walking helps your health? Regular brisk walking improves your circulation and helps your heart and lungs work more efficiently. It also burns calories that might otherwise contribute to a weight problem. A person weighing about 150 pounds can burn about 240 calories per hour if they sustain a pace of about 2 miles per hour. Alongside these benefits to your physical health, walking also boosts energy and can ease stress and tension. And if you walk with a relative or friend or join a local walking group, find one via your local senior center, it can be a good way to keep up the social interaction that may help preserve cognitive well-being. And stay hydrated. Be sure to drink liquids when you are engaged in any activity that makes you sweat, even if you don't feel thirsty. Keep in mind that you may not be as aware of thirst as you age, and by the time you notice it, you probably are already low in fluids. For week one, aim for 3 to 4 sessions. Warm up about 5 minutes, 5 minutes of brisk walking, 5 minutes of cool down. Total daily walking time, 15 minutes. Week 2, aim for 4 to 5 sessions, 5 minutes of warm-up, 7 briskly walking, 5 cool-down, 17 total. Week 3, aim to walk each day for week 3 with a 5-minute warm-up, 10 minutes of brisk walking, 5 minutes to cool down, total 20 minutes. And then you keep adding 2 minutes the fourth week, 3 more minutes the fifth week, and 5 more minutes the sixth week, making 20 minutes of brisk walking. Sounds wonderful. Well, we have run out of time for today's episode of Modern Maturity. Be sure to listen next time. We hope you've enjoyed it. I'm Annika Gall, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. This broadcast is readily available as a podcast after the broadcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. So long, until next time. If you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138. That's 919-832-5138.